Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It's our first hour of Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, the last Saturday in April. I'm Will Stevenson. Normally on Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m., taking my turn this month hosting the program on Saturday morning, and I'm so glad to be. Coming up this morning on the program, two great hours of conversation as always. In our second hour after 8 o'clock, I'll talk with Jeannie Weber, the executive director of the Warren County United Way. Starting today, in fact, they have a new initiative going on. We'll talk about that and some other new things that the Warren County United Way has going on coming up in our next hour. But first, before he officially steps down as the 7th Ward Alderman in the city of Galesburg, we're going to talk one last time in his aldermanic role, of course, with Jeremy Carlin, who is in the studio. Good morning, sir. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks, Will. Thanks for having me.
You're just a few days out from not being alderman anymore. How does it feel?
I'm such a short-timer now. Don't ask me to do anything. It feels good, actually. I'm proud of the 8 years that I served on the city council, and I think we've seen a lot of changes in that period of time. And, you know, if you think that of Galesburg's story to be a novel, I'm really proud to at least have a paragraph of that.
That's a very good thing, and we appreciate you and your public service and even just running for office. I think those are all very good things, no matter where you stand on a lot of the issues. And I want to talk to you about a lot of those things in more detail in the course of this hour. But take me back to the beginning, 8 years ago when you first ran for alderman. What was going through your mind at that time? What made you decide to run? And is that similar or different to where things are now as you wrap up?
You know, I think it's very similar today than when I ran 8 years ago. I ran 8 years ago because I believed that the city needed to focus on people. That at that point, the sum and substance of trying to make our city grow was to get businesses to come here, and I believed that instead of incentivizing businesses, we needed to focus on incentivizing people, and so making Galesburg the best place that you could live. I mean, at that point, you know, you could go anywhere to get a job potentially, and so we needed to answer the question of why Galesburg at that point. And so we needed to have the amenities that people expect in a larger town, but in a smaller community, we need that small town feel. We need the people to feel safe in their neighborhoods and feel like they are a part of something. And that's, in many respects, why I ran. I ran because at that point my son was 6 years old. And even then I was thinking about the time in which he would be looking to going into adulthood and trying to find success for himself. And, you mean, however he defines it then. But I wanted at that point that Galesburg to be a real opportunity.
That said, I've been here. I know you've been here a long time, and I've spent the vast majority of 17 years here, which, you know, may not make sense, but just trust me, it's the vast majority of 17 years. But I think, though, I can kind of see why Galesburg kind of took the tact that it did in terms of trying to incentivize businesses to come here, right? I mean, Maytag was closing and had since closed. A lot of people were out of work. You could argue, I would imagine, that there wasn't a lot of reason for somebody to, one, visit Galesburg, or to, two, do business in Galesburg. And I don't know if it was maybe the last act of a desperate man, if you will, but you can kind of see, though, right, why the city did that the way it did.
Yeah, I see that. And I think you're right, and I think you're wrong. Now let's tell.
Yeah, mark this date on your calendar. Somebody told me I'm wrong.
Okay, well, what are you talking about? Mark this on your calendar. Someone told you you were right.
Touche.
But at that point, Maytag had closed, and that was a real gut punch to the community. Mm-hmm. And when I, even at the time that I became an alderman, it was a thing that we as a community were mourning. It was a loss. It was a harm to our community. And so it's natural for us at that time to be thinking that we have to replace that thing that we lost, which was a large business.
And I think there are a lot of people in town, too, that kind of still see in their mind the need to replace a large business with a large manufacturer, in this case, with a large manufacturer. And I'm not sure that's necessarily the way that should go either.
Right. I think what has changed, though, in the respect of why I think this is why I think that kind of focusing on business doesn't make sense. If you think about economic development, and I actually credit Ken Springer from KCAP to kind of helping me formulate this because he does it really well. If you think about economic development, you're thinking about the strength and the vibrancy of the community. And so there's a number of things that you need to be focusing on to make a community economically viable. One of them is making sure that there are businesses who come in and businesses that you can grow. That's just one. If you imagine that economic development is a wheel with spokes, that's one spoke, right? Mm-hmm. But then also you need to have a good workforce. You need to have trained people who can do jobs, and so you have to focus on education.
Sure.
You need to have good houses so people will live. You need to have a safe community. You need to have good schools. You need to have places for people to go, have fun. If you talk about it in that way, economic development is a much broader concept than simply I'm going to get a business with 25 people to come here and bribe them, just as we bribed the railroad to come here however many years ago with $300,000
Maytag, and that didn't even work.
Exactly right. And so I think given the fact that we are now we're in the conceivable future, and now we'll be talking about small to medium sized businesses. Those businesses tend to be, I think, more influenced by the same things that individuals are influenced by. Do I see my family moving to Galesburg and opening up a business there? Do I see my kids going to school there? Do I see my employees enjoying their experience here and having a quality life? And so,
versus somebody just coming up to you and saying, hey, trust us, you're going to be all right here.
Exactly right. And so, and you'd asked me in the beginning, how is it different for me now? Mm-hmm. It really isn't. I think I'm using different words, but I'm talking about the same thing, which is that as a part of economic development, we need to be talking about the people, and not just simply the jobs that we want them to have.
In terms of the way you just mentioned that you think of economic development now, do you think a lot of that has been or is being accomplished in terms of, some of those quality of life things and better schools and that sort of thing that you talked about?
I think we're in the right direction. Yeah. And we've set ourselves up to do that. First of all, the very fact that people are talking about it, the very fact that our chief economic development person is using those very terms and thinking of it that way will help us shape the growth in the community. I think that well, we're now at a place in which we have businesses here who would add additional shifts to their company if they could find people to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a jobs issue anymore. It's a people issue.
Right.
And it's always, at the end of the day, for Galesburg and communities like Galesburg, we're very much in the same boat as a lot of communities in Illinois and throughout the Midwest. It's really about population growth. It's about getting people to come here, or people who have by virtue of birth or their parents' decisions are living here, to getting them to stay. And if you think about any issue that we deal with as a community, all of those issues would have a better outlook if there were more people living here.
Getting people to stay seems to me to be both the rub and the biggest in talking to other people, the biggest problem we face right now, perhaps over and above getting getting businesses to come here, quality of life issues, that sort of thing. But it's also a double-edged sword too.
Well, yeah, it is a difficult sell. I mean, first of all, all of us as parents, we've kind of been trained to say to our children that we want you to go out into the world and find success somewhere else.
And you said that to your kid?
No, I have not. but he's just a freshman in high school, so we don't have to quite talking about leaving yet. So there's that. We export, if you think about it, we export what, something like 1,000 people out of Galesburg every year by virtue of our maybe not the entire graduating class, but by virtue of graduating classes at GHS and at Knox and at Carl Sandburg, those are 1,000 people who could be staying in our community and doing the things that they feel passionate about. So again, at least from that perspective, it's they could do what they – for many people, they could do whatever it is that they want to do anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so we have to help them answer the question, why Galesburg? Now, it is true that when we looked at it from kind of a job perspective, for many of us, Galesburg was the first stop in what we thought would be a very long career, that we would be here. And I included. I mean, when I moved here in 1995, when I was hired by Ray Kimball in the state's attorney's office, I thought I would be here 2 years, and then I would be either back to Wisconsin or back up to Chicago, or I went to law school. But then, you know, I was here for 2 years. I saw a future here. I was approached by two law firms, and met a girl, you know, so and so. And, you know, the chief bailiff at the time, Larry Caldwell, said to me, you know, once you put those roots in the Knox County soil, you can't get going. And, you know, it's true. And
I've left twice and come back. This is my third time working at this radio station. And it's not, I mean, granted, my boss is not a bad guy, but, you know, that's not my only consideration when I was looking for a job.
I know, Will. And I imagine that conversation that you have with the city of Galesburg personified, and you just say to her, I can't quit you.
Well, it did kind of happen, although to be fair, the last couple of years before I came back here were spent in Springfield. And, you know, as I like Springfield, there are probably better places I could be at times.
If there were ever a place that would make Galesburg look good, right?
Oh, my goodness. Granted, the mayor's a nice guy, but then I spent a lot of time in the Capitol complex.
And, you know, and I want to also just, yeah, and I want to temper what I just said. I mean, Galesburg is a great city.
It really is.
I choose to move here, and I chose to stay here, and it's a city that has extraordinary promise. And what I really love about this community, more than many other communities that I've seen, is the passion that people have about this place.
Oh, sure.
They wouldn't get so angry about the things that we do at city council if they really didn't care about this place. And so what's to our benefit is that we don't suffer from a lack of people who want to make the community a better place, and we don't suffer from a lack of ideas, and we don't suffer from a lack of people who are willing to pitch in.
Conversely, I've got a minute before I need to take a break, but conversely, what do you say to those people that I hear from all the time too that say, oh, the first chance I get, I'm going to leave?
Well, you know, you want to talk to them with compassion and empathy, of course. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just say to them, like, well, don't let the door hit you in the butt. But but you want to talk to them about why it is that they feel that way about the city, and see if there's a way to help them out. I mean, you know, wherever you go, there you are, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that's the common thing about that place is you. And so if you're negative about Galesburg, and if you're kind of a negative Nelly, you're going to be a negative Nelly in Chicago or Des Moines or, Cairo.
Yeah. I did like Springfield, by the way, but it just so happens I like the smaller community of Galesburg better.
Exactly.
But that'll all be in my book coming out soon.
Excellent.
Soon meaning sometime between now and the next 30, 40 years. We're talking with Jeremy Carlin, who's spending his last few days in office as 7th Ward Alderman, at least for the purposes of this discussion. I want to talk more about that and accomplishments and the road ahead and things like that when we come back, but we need to take a break for local news and weather first. You're listening to Galesburg Live on the Saturday morning. We're glad you're with us today here on WGIL. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday morning. I'm Will Stevenson. Thank you for joining us today. Jeannie Weber, Executive Director of the Warren County United Way, joins me in our next hour to talk about things they have going on at that local United Way. We talked to Lon Dunn in this program recently, and we talked to others in the Monmouth area recently, too. So we like to go all over and Jeremy Carlin does get the chance in his day job as an attorney to go all over, but we're focusing on Galesburg in this case, as he is spending his final few days as 7th Ward Alderman, as he opted not to seek a third term in his office. Although I want to bring up your day job just for a second, Jeremy, with Barash and Everett, because I know there was a one day representing the firm you spent in my hometown in Kewaunee, substituting for the city attorney there. I wonder, even though you're on your way out, does that kind of change or alter your perspective about the operation of city government when you're on that side of it versus being an elected official?
Well, I think so. My law firm, we represent a number of municipalities. Mm-hmm. I personally am the attorney for the Village of Cleveland. I know.
Another fine Henry County community.
I've been to meetings in the Village of Hoople.
I know Hoople.
Right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, their motto on their website, or their logo on the website, is awesome because it's a picture of the globe, and on the top is the North Pole, and the bottom is the South Pole, and the middle is Hoople. And
I love that.
I know, it's great. Here I am telling you about it.
Versus its nearby neighbor Atkinson, which used to have a bumper sticker going around that says, "Where the heck is Atkinson, Illinois?"
Yeah, okay, there is that. I think as an attorney, and particularly seeing the things that Brad Nolden has to do, it gives me a perspective kind of from the other side of the council chambers what it would look like to be in administration. Sure.
Does being an attorney on the whole help you as you kind of think about your constituents, or is that the sort of thing where by and large you kind of keep the two areas separate?
Well, I think, my training as an attorney, my principal job is to solve problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my
job in the media is to create them, as you well know.
Well, I will talk about that later, but yeah. Nevertheless, this is about me today. And
you said it, Jeremy.
Right, okay. Nevertheless, I think I draw on my training as a problem solver, and that helps in my job as an alderman. But I do have to kind of then make sure that there are times where I have to bite my tongue, because
I'm sure, yeah,
we have one attorney, and that's a city attorney, and it does us no good when people, like even during a meeting, are looking to me to give legal advice, and I don't want to be in a situation where somehow I might be being contradictory with regard to our city attorney.
Well, sometimes, legal advice and doing what's best for your constituents are one and the same, and sometimes I imagine they're not.
Right, as well as that when you talk to two lawyers, you might get three opinions about what the legal...
Right. Yeah.
So...
You mentioned being an attorney as a problem, it was being a problem solver by and large. As an alderman... what's the biggest problem you've had to try and solve for your constituents in 8 years, would you say?
You know, it's hard to say.
What was the first problem you had to
solve?
Well,
I'll tell you, the first problem, the last problem, and the biggest problem, it's all the same thing.
Okay.
Is that people really get angry about potholes and sidewalks. and that's the – if I were to track it, that would be the greatest number of calls that I've gotten. But then after that, it's bad neighbors.
Mm.
Or that maybe is putting it too strongly. Neighbors that they don't get along with. And, you know, we can wax philosophic about the demise of the American neighborhood, where people who live next to each other don't have a conversation. And so therefore are unable to resolve conflicts when they do come up. But so I've had those issues as well. But with all those things, I mean, it comes to, you know, constituent service. That's the most rewarding part of my job, actually.
And helping to solve those problems in the grander scheme of things kind of goes back to what you were talking about in the last segment, that can help keep people, that can help get people to come here and help get them to stay.
Right. I mean, people really do actually, most people do long for a place where, it's Mayberry-esque, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, people know each other, a sense of community, that you can depend on each other. And we can do that here. Sometimes you need the city to jump in and help out on that.
Did you imagine you would be spending as much time dealing with issues like, you know, infrastructure, potholes, neighborhood issues and things like that, though, when you first ran and became alderman?
I did imagine that I would be dealing with those issues, and I made a strong effort to make myself accessible. I used to have office hours at Q's Cafe when they were still in business. Mm-hmm. I have a Facebook site. I think I'm one of the first aldermen to do that. People have my cell number accessible. So I wasn't surprised by the number. I was surprised that it was potholes and sidewalks. but, you know, people, like anything in the world, people want return for the dollar, you know. And, you know, just like when you go to a restaurant, you want to have a nice meal. You want to have good service. You like it tastes good, and it'd be like something that you can't get at home, right? People consume city services in the same way. And so, you know, they feel like they have paid for good streets.
And many times they feel like they're overpaying and not getting what they pay for.
That's what happens. It's usually the conversation is there's a pothole, you know, right in front of my house, and then it's linked with, and gosh darn it, I pay a whole bunch of taxes and it should be fixed.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get that. But it's a two-way street in terms of the serving your constituent. It's getting them hooked up with the part of the administration that will help them out. You know, getting Wayne Carl, and mind you, getting Wayne Carl to get in his car and go out and take a look at it. And he is great about that. I will tell you that the city administration is very quick to go look at a problem and tell me what can and cannot be done. And sometimes we can't get to it yet. But, you know, for the most part, when you explain that to people after they've been heard and you explain where we're at and we can't do this particular thing yet, most people do understand it.
That brings up another point. I think a lot of people are naturally skeptical of their city administration, no matter where they are and no matter how much work is actually done. It sounds to me like you're saying that, and maybe we all feel that way from time to time, but it sounds like you're saying that you're pretty positive about how city government is run here.
I am. I mean, you know, what's great about local city government is that it is very small. It is very lean because we don't have a lot of money. And so a lot of the people in city government. They have names and faces.
Mm-hmm.
And by virtue of living in a town that we live in, the constituents have names and faces. And so you can see the effect and the positive things for people and negative things when city government gets involved. I think that's a great thing.
Before I take another break here, speaking of the expenditure of government funds here, gosh, you and the rest of the council and the mayor have spent an awful lot of time in that 8 years kind of tackling the budget, trimming some of the fat and things like that in 8 years. How do you see that situation here going forward in maybe at least into the next year, if not the next couple of years?
Well, it's the same problem, same two things contributing to the difficulties. It's been the same thing that has happened I've seen over the last 8 years, which is you have a dwindling or decreasing tax base,
mm-hmm.
both with individuals living here and the values of homes. Now, mind you, again, I became an alderman after the crash or the economic depression, whatever you want to call it, in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, property values went down. So you have that, as well as then you have the ongoing pension issue, which is our promise to our employees at the city to make sure that they can retire with respect after giving us a lifetime's worth of work. That is fair, and that should happen. But we are limited by state laws in our ability to make sure that we get a good return on the money that they've paid into our pension over the years.
The mayor has suggested a time or two recently that maybe police and fire pensions should be in the state should be handled the same way as the rest of the municipal employees, like folding it all into the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, for example. Is that the way to go, or do you see another solution?
I think that's one idea, and I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. IMRF tends to do well, particularly because they say to a municipality, you must pay that, mm-hmm. As opposed to when a municipality gets to choose what they're going to pay. You know, sometimes they put off paying what they should be into a pension for and shortchanging it down the road. Also, IMRF, they can be a little more risky in their investments. Mm-hmm. And by risk, I mean enter into the stock market.
Right.
And, in local pensions, we are very limited in using like government notes and securities and CDs. And so while, some of the, the stock market went up, 9% in the first quarter, mm-hmm. We won't see a return like that in 3 years. If over a 3 year period, we need to be able to take advantage of that.
The city of Springfield, at least all the time I was there, I was surprised to learn that the entirety of the city's portion of the property tax levy now goes to pay pension costs. And that's a problem that a lot of cities are facing. At least we're not quite at that point yet, but we very well could be.
No, because, we're at the point right now where, first of all, again, I think that we have a well-run city administration. They have their difficulties and challenges and problems. Particularly in the area of finance, they do an incredible job there of kind of doing their job in a conservative way, giving us forecasts in a conservative way, making sure that our budgets look good. They win awards, consistently over there. We are at a place in which much of our budget goes to pension. And it interfered with our ability as a city to make capital improvements.
Yeah.
But now it's a little better. And unfortunately, it means sometimes passing a little revenue increase, like the utility tax. But now we have a stream of money with which we can do bigger projects in the community that need to get done.
I'm talking with 7th Ward Alderman Jeremy Carlin. I need to take one more break, and then I'll ask a few more questions about how the city should go in the future and what advice he has for his replacement, among other things. We'll have all that and more when we come back as Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday morning at WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us this morning. We have one final segment here with Galesburg 7th Ward Alderman Jeremy Carlin on this Saturday morning. You endorsed the candidate who almost won the race to replace you, Ashley Warby. Larry Cox, former Public Works director, defeated your candidate. But Ashley ran a great campaign, but I would argue that it's probably difficult to run against somebody who has the depth of experience that somebody like Larry Cox does.
Yeah, I mean, me endorsing Ashley Warby is not a reflection on Larry's ability to do the job.
Sure.
I mean, it's we are lucky actually in the 7th Ward that over the years we get some really good candidates out of that ward. Except for the last 8 years, of course, but,
present company excluded.
Right. both of them would do an excellent job. And Larry brings a lot of experience. The reason I thought that Ashley might, different and perhaps better is that if we're trying to get young people to move to Galesburg, then maybe they need to have a voice in our city council.
Yeah.
And we do have the Caucasian retired male aspect of our community well represented on our city council already. Larry is going to do a great job. I have every confidence in the world that he will. He's thoughtful. He, in fact, probably be better than I, because when people ask him, well, what can we do about this? He'll have the answer.
He already knows how to fix the problems in town.
He knows what levers need to be pulled and whatever. I would always have to call the city manager or Wayne Carl or someone else in the administration to find out what we could do.
As much as that wealth of knowledge is important to have, though, is it almost a detriment? I think maybe at times because he knows so much about the city government that if it comes to telling somebody we can't do this way, that might be off-putting a little bit.
Well, I think if he has an experience, if his experience of handling particular issues is done in a particular way, you might kind of say, well, that's how we always have done it.
Yeah.
As opposed to perhaps being creative and coming up with a different solution. Again, Larry's going to do a great job and God bless him. You mean you need people to run for city government. I'm glad that he stepped up and we'll be a better community for him running.
I've talked to a number of candidates and aldermen and elected officials about this, Jeremy, so I'll go ahead and ask you before we run out of time. We've talked a lot recently about the city manager, Todd Thompson, and how he's handled the situation involving the former HR manager, which led to a whole legal brouhaha and now has led to a law firm getting involved that's going to investigate this a little further. Whether you feel it was that way or not, it's all kind of come up, gosh, right before last month's election, too, even though it's been brewing for some time. Your thoughts on that? Has this been handled fairly, and is the city manager doing a good job?
I think Todd Thompson does a good job of running the city. Now, if he and I had differences, as an alderman, I can afford to be a little more ambitious,
And that's the nature of the job, right? I mean, you kind of represent what your constituents want versus what's kind of in the city manager's mind.
Right. The city manager has the unenviable task of having to please a lot of people, particularly one mayor and seven aldermen. And it's nearly an impossible task, which, the current events are certainly showing. So I think Todd does a very good job, and he certainly kept the lights on for us at a time in which we needed that. He's gone through he's been with two mayors now, which posed I like John Pritchard. I mean, John is a great mayor. The last mayor before that, had a certain way of he wanted to do things, and I could see how that would be difficult to work with. That said, I guess the question being should we be doing what we're doing right now, right? Mm-hmm. Which is hiring a law firm to look at what has happened. Of course we should. I mean, first of all, it was found that our HR director had discriminated against an employee on mm-hmm. the basis of race. Now, you may disagree with the decision, but nevertheless, it's a court decision. It's now a conclusion. It's done. And so when you have, of all people, our HR director doing it, it really caused harm to the employees and to City Hall. And so it really calls for something to be done to heal that wound. And I think active steps on the part of the city administration, the city council, to show that these kind of issues are important, that they need to be addressed. And that we're not afraid of looking at what was done to see if we could have handled it in a better way and come up with other policies and procedures so that we don't have that again. I think that's useful and helpful. I think you can do all that and say all that without necessarily being personal and negative. And I think it's frankly something that we ought to be doing with a lot of people.
Should the investigation have started sooner?
Well, the timing of it, I think, is not so important as a matter of just getting it done.
Yeah,
right. And it called, without getting into too great detail, what we talk about in executive session, but it required a conversation about what were we investigating, what are we looking at, and again. Just because there's an investigation, I don't assume that there's wrongdoing. if they're, you know, and I don't think that people should. I think that because there's an investigation, it demonstrates the city's desire to make sure that in the future we can assure the city and it's the community that we're going to do it right.
I just got done in an earlier segment asking you about separating being an attorney from being an alderman, but this is kind of almost one of those cases where they almost intersect in some ways, don't they?
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's what you're a lot of people are running into. You mean there's not a lot of talk, you know, in city council about, you know, what it is that we're doing, right? And there are a lot of reasons for them, some of them legal. You know, there's the lawyer in me that says we really shouldn't be talking about employment matters out in the world. There's the lawyer in me that says anything that touches litigation, we shouldn't be talking about in the world publicly like that.
But yet some of these issues, rightly or wrongly, were brought out publicly.
Well, you know, they are not lawyers. and so I feel differently about it. You know, what's great about our city council is that we have a diversity of experiences and opinions, and that's the strength of our council.
I'm going to stop this discussion here with saying I'm going to pick up on it in just a minute, that we'll play the rest Monday night on Galesburg's Evening News. But for now, Jeremy Carlin, thanks for coming in today, and we'll continue this discussion real briefly on Monday night. But thanks for all the time you put in for city work on top of one of the hardest jobs around, being an attorney during the day. It's been a lot of people appreciate it.
Well, I thank you. And obviously, I have to thank my family who's had to put up with that for all these years. And I think they'll be happy to have me back on Monday nights.
There you go. Jeremy, thanks again. Stay tuned. Warren County United Way Executive Director Jeannie Weber comes up next on Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning. But first, news, weather, and sports on WGIL. Thanks for joining us.